Now back to the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show, which is presented to you by Power Planter Earth Augers, the official digging tool. To find the right size for your digging project, visit powerplanter.com. Now here are your hosts, Joey and Holly Baird.
Welcome back to the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show. Holly, let's go to the hotline and bring in our guest for this week.
Yeah, Jackie Beyer is an artist, journalist, and the host and creator of the Organic Garden Podcast. She lives in Montana with her husband, Mike, and he's a pretty good vegetable gardener.
Welcome to the program, Jackie.
Hey, thanks for having me, Holly and Joey. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, we thank you for taking time out of your day to join not only Holly and myself, but all of our listeners. We appreciate the time that you're going to offer to us.
Well, I'm just excited to talk to everybody. You guys were guests on my show way back when I first started out, and then again recently, and just it's exciting to share with your audience this time.
Awesome. So you are not much of a vegetable gardener, but you have an organic gardener podcast. Why did you decide to create the podcast?
Well, I always call myself the organic eater. And truth be told, I always wanted to work for, like, Rodale's Organic Gardening magazine, like, as a graphic designer. Like, I love reading the magazine. I love looking at all the pictures of the beautiful gardeners. And just, and I love being in the garden. I love eating organic vegetables. I'm just not the biggest fan of playing in the dirt, but I've had my podcast since 2015, so for 5 years now, and I definitely have learned a ton and garden a lot more, grow more. Like, this year I even actually planted my very first own, like, broccoli seeds that became broccoli plants that are growing out in the garden. Now, we're in northwest Montana, and everybody's talking about we're expecting a freeze tonight, our first freeze and covering everything, so I'm not sure that those broccolis are actually going to get me broccoli this year, but it was just exciting, like, doing my own seeds. And I've grown, like, basil plants. Like, I've grown things, flowers from seeds, but that was the first time, like, I ever planted the seeds indoors, grew them from to like, and then transplanted them outdoors.
Well, you speak of your podcast, and you've interviewed a lot of guests over the 5 years. What is one or a couple of the most random eye-opening things you have learned from the guests that you've had on your show?
Well, so one guest I have was Anastasia Cole Plakeas, who's from the Brooklyn Grange in New York, which is like one of the biggest rooftop gardens in the world. And when I went there, because I grew up in New York and I was visiting my mom, and we went to the rooftop of the Brooklyn Grange, and they have this thing called a pollinator border, which is like just the most beautiful flowers all around the edge of the outside of their garden. And just the whole connection between flowers, because they draw in beneficial insects, they draw in pollinators, they bring in, they'll make your vegetable garden so much more productive. And also, like, the underlying theme of my show, without a doubt, is soil health. And so it's kind of like more about creating an entire ecosystem than just growing a potato or just growing a carrot or just growing a vegetable. It, you know, the whole kind of organic theme is a lot about creating an organic ecosystem. And so this pollinator border was just, and have lots of herbs in it, which I love to grow herbs. And so just like, that's something I think I just really like to encourage people to do, is grow herbs. Like, even if you live in a city where you don't think you're going to be able to grow a lot of food, you know, growing a fresh herb on your windowsill can make your food taste so much better. And it's just so good for the environment. So even if you think you're not doing anything because you're not growing tomatoes, you're not growing like actual food, like growing flowers helps your local farmer or your local gardener or just the environment by providing places for bees to eat. So to me, that's something that was really cool to see after talking to a guest and then going to their farm.
Well, you bring up the aspect of growing herbs, even if you're not going to grow tomatoes or peppers or potatoes or you're unable to, because if you go to the store, you buy these little dinky things of herbs that are like, I don't know,
expensive. I'm just
expensive.
Fascinated that
people do that. Yeah, and it's so expensive, and if you look at it wrong, it's already dried up and wilted in your refrigerator. So having that fresh source, if people would do it once, they would continue to do it forever because they realize how beneficial or the difference it is between the store-bought and the freshly grown on their windowsill.
Yeah, and then you have that plant growing, which is cleaning your air. And, like, I lived in an apartment for a couple of years. Like, I taught school in a place that was 150 miles from my house, so I'd come home on the weekends and stay there during the week. And I was amazed at how many herbs grew in this apartment in northwest Montana where there's, like, 3 feet of snow on the ground and just how much that changed my cooking. And it was so nice to have those fresh herbs in my kitchen. And I was also able to grow a lot of lettuce. Like, in my classroom, we grew lettuce for the pet guinea pig, and we had a worm bin, which was really easy to keep in the classroom. I think every teacher should, like, every school should be composting. Like, I'm just a really big fan of compost. Like, even though I don't like to be in the garden because I don't really like dirty garden jobs unless, like, I talk a lot about, like, when I come home from school and I'm in my school clothes or even my school jeans, like, I don't want to get those dirty, but I have, like, definite garden clothes for, like, when I do garden jobs. And, like, but one thing that never bothers me is turning to compost. Like, I consider composting a clean garden job. And just, I think everybody should be saving their compost.
Well, and you, and when we were on your program, you talked about you're in a location where you just can't jump in the truck and 10 minutes later you're at a garden center and you load up a load of compost and bring it home.
Oh yeah, no.
You've got to make it a day, planned out in order to go get compost. People don't realize how fortunate many of us are that have that availability so close to our gardens.
And even my mom, who lives on Long Island, there's, like, a botanical garden right in the middle of Nassau County where she lives, where they have, like, some of the best compost, and you can go buy, like, potting soil, or they call it, like, glacier gold. It's not glacier gold is here in Montana, but some kind of gold dirt that people have access to that they can go get a pickup load or a truckload on a Saturday, or even, like, my mom goes and gets a bag full in her car. So, there's definitely options. You know, the nice thing about being in rural Montana is we kind of have more options for, like, getting cow manure or chicken manure from people. Or one thing with cow manure people have talked about on my show is make sure you get the cow manure from cows that have not eaten weed-free hay, which it's taken me forever to get that down. But, like, if they eat weed-free hay, it means the hay was sprayed with pesticides. And I've had two very specific guests, but one of them was, like, the local nursery, and she said a lot of people around here had that problem where they were getting manure from cows. So they say be really particular about where you get it from because that can just ruin your garden.
Yeah, definitely. It's a very persistent herbicide. That
killer compost.
Yeah, they're eating. So what is the most helpful garden information you have heard in a garden interview or have ever received, or Mike has ever received?
Well, definitely composting and mulching. Again, like I said, the theme of my show underlyingly has been soil health, but people talk a lot about mulching too, because mulching will keep the weeds at bay. It helps, like, where we are watering, we're in a very dry climate here in northwest Montana, so watering's hard and difficult. And even, like, my husband and I lived for 6 years without running water, so then we were really limited on gardening. This is a tip that people are always baffled, like, surprised by. Like, when you're hauling your water to your garden, the only thing that is getting that water are the roots of your vegetables, for sure. So we didn't have as big of a problem with weeds as then. Now that we have, like, a deep well and we can, like, put the sprinkler on, we get a lot more weeds. But mulching will definitely keep, like, retain soil moisture, like, make it so you have to water less, which is, like, one of my biggest struggles, because I usually have a full-time job, and, like, there'll be, like, a week in the summer where I won't even see the garden, you know, like, by the time I go to work and go to the store afterwards and then come home and make dinner and, like, maybe take my dogs for a walk, like, I might not even see the garden in the daylight, even in Montana where we have really long days in the summer. And just so watering is always a big struggle for me. And also, like, that's another thing that I'm feeling, like, right now at the end of summer, like, I'm feeling bad that I didn't put a fall crop of, like, lettuce and arugula and stuff in. But then I'm also, like, I am really tired of the commitment of having to go down to the garden every single night and water every single thing down there. And I'm just kind of ready for a rest. So it's kind of nice to, like, one big thing I feel like people do a lot is plant too much. You've got to really be thinking about what's going to happen in August and September.
Well, yeah, everybody wants
to jump ahead there.
Everybody wants to put in, you know, 80, 90 tomato plants, but whenever they're all producing 5, 10, 15 pounds over the course, and you're dealing with 5-gallon buckets of, you know, 10, 15 of a quantity of that, you got to figure out what you're going to do with that. That you bring up a good point.
Where you're going to store it and how you're going to, you know, if you're going to can it, when are you going to, how late are you going to stay up at night canning all that?
Do you have time to do it? Yeah.
Yeah.
And for people who hear that when you go down the garden, your garden is not right off the back door porch. So I want to make people aware that that's the reason why you're not able to just look out the back window and see it as easily as many of us are granted or are blessed to do.
I mean, it's not that far away, but it's, yeah. And then my husband has what I call, like, the mini farm, which is even further away than, like, outside of our garden. Like, in Montana, I spoke at this conference last year, and I asked, like, a question, like, if you know, what was your biggest garden challenge? And I think out of 40 people I talked to, 35 of them said deer. Like, we have a so you have to have big fencing in Montana to keep the deer out if you're going to grow food. It's just, you know, that's one of the biggest challenges I get. The three biggest questions I get on my show, without a doubt, are, what do I do about bugs and pests, squash bugs? And so a lot of the answers to that are, like, row cover, mulch, and healthy soil, just keeping everything clean. And then the other question I get is, what do I do about critters? What do I do about critters? So fencing is just essential. Like, we've had so much heartbreak here because we've tried over the years to grow things outside the fence, and just it just doesn't work.
Yeah, I know Joey and I couldn't agree more about that whole fencing thing. So we are talking with Jackie Beyer of the Organic Garden Podcast. So what would you say, since you're talking about mulch, what would you say is your ideal mulch or your favorite mulch?
Mike really likes to use straw, because especially the nice thing about straw is it will, you know, then work into your soil. So not only does it just, like, help the year that you plant it to keep the weeds at bay and to keep the moisture in, but then it's adding organic material into your soil as you turn it in after that crop's done and you're mixing it into the soil. Something I used for mulch this year that I've never used before were grass clippings. Like, I would, you know, take the lawnmower bag of grass clippings and let them kind of dry out and turn a little bit brown, and then put that around my flowers, and or around, like, the broccoli or the carrots and stuff. And I was amazed at how well that worked, because we live in northwest Montana and we're kind of in the woods. We have a very large lawn for fire break, to keep away, like, if there was a forest fire. And so we had an abundance of lawn clippings, and we didn't have as much organic straw. And Mike's always on me about, use straw, don't say hay. I don't exactly remember exactly why, but something. And you can use hay, but I just think he likes to use straw because it won't make, like, weeds or something.
Right.
It doesn't, like, get seeds into the ground as much, so he's always, like, use straw. So he likes straw, but I thought the grass clippings worked really well this year.
Well, now, there has been a lot of new gardeners this year for obvious reasons. What are the common newbie mistakes that you see or have heard or been asked about? I did this. Was this wrong or was this right? What have you seen on your end?
Well, I just feel like the biggest newbie mistake that I see is people, like, or that I hear from, is, like, people overplanting their beds and getting, just putting too much stuff in, getting super overwhelmed in August, and just want, and I'm totally guilty of this myself, like, not planting enough, not reading the backs of their seed packets. So, like, and I do this all the time too. Like, Mike's always like, you can't put carrots in the middle of July, you know, there's not enough time for them to grow. Like, knowing how long it takes something to grow, getting those seeds in time, in the spring, like, counting backwards, being like, all right, I'm going to harvest this in September. I need to know when's my last, like, in Montana, our last frost date is usually September 8th. Like, so making sure that if it's something like green beans that can't take any frost, they need to be planted so they're going to grow, so they're going to have time to be harvested. You know, like, those kind of mistakes. And then, like, the overplanting thing, like, just going, putting too much stuff in one bed and not planning for growth, like how big a squash plant actually gets, you know, and then putting, like, too many things in there. Just, that's, like, the biggest thing I feel like I hear newbies say, is just not really, not enough planning, not doing enough strategic planning. And definitely one of the other things that a lot of my seasons guests talked about is taking really good notes, like keeping a journal, keeping records, of what did work, what didn't work. When do you want to plant the next year? Like, I am doing a lot of my fall planning this August. I've done more planning this year for next year's garden. Like, I already know, where's my kale going to go? Where's my broccoli going to go? Partly because, did I mention that I bought nematodes this year? I finally broke down and bought the nematodes. I think we talked about this when you guys were on my show the last time. Because all these soil health experts keep telling me about getting beneficial nematodes. They're so essential. And so I finally was like, well, if I'm going to put the nematode, I want them in the bed where my kale is going to go, because my kale has so many bugs in it this year. And so my friend Patty was like, who's like a big soil expert, she's like, if you don't want to have those bugs, you should get some beneficial nematodes, and they will eat the insects that are eating your kale. And so planning where my kale and my broccoli is going to go next year, that's been a big game changer for me.
Awesome.
And I consider myself a very newbie gardener.
All right. So how can our guests find out?
Our listeners.
Our listeners find out more about you and your podcast.
So my podcast website is just organicgardenerpodcast.com. And then I'm on Instagram and Facebook pretty regularly. But, you know, on your podcast app. And so we did change the name of the podcast in December to Green Organic Garden Podcast. So I guess if you search for it, you're going to search for Green Organic Garden, because there is another The Organic Gardener Podcast with a capital T-H-E, which is part of why I changed my name.
Well, Jackie, we greatly appreciate the time you've offered to Holly, myself, and all of our listeners. And we thank you for the information you've shared with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. And if your listeners need anything, you know, they can always reach out to me. I'm happy to try to find any answers I can for people. And just, my guests, like Joey and Holly, are what make my show awesome, because they have shared so many golden seeds and just taught us so much. So,
well, thank
you. Check it out if you like podcasting.
Thank you
very much. Thank you, guys.
Absolutely.
Thank you. For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.